90% of the large fish in the oceans are gone. You know, name your favorite atrocity. There was, what's the one about little girls and puberty? What are the figures on that? It's about human sperm counts have been cut in half in the last 50 years. At the same time, girls have begun to enter puberty earlier. 1% of 3-year-old girls have begun to develop breasts or pubic hair. In only the last 6 years, the percentage of girls under 8 with swollen breasts or pubic hair has gone from 1% to 6.7% for white girls and 27.2% for black girls. How many people in this room have had someone you love die of cancer? That's actually really low. Most of the times when I ask that question, it's about 75 to 100%. What we need to do is to dismantle everything we see around us. We need to bring down all of civilization. It is killing the planet. And we need to have our... There are 65,000 dams in this country over 6.5 feet tall. There are 2 million dams in this country total, about. Nobody knows, because nobody knows how many there are. They've never even bothered to count the goddamn things. And if we only take out one dam a day, it would take us, 70,000 dams, or 365 days in a year, 3,600 would be 10 years, 100 years, 200 years to take out all the big dams at one a day. The Columbia River salmon don't have that time, nor do any salmon. And it doesn't matter, once again, you know, you can connect all the dots, whether we're talking about the little girls with their undergoing puberty earlier, or whether we're talking about the extirpation of salmon. If we're not going to fight back when children are being poisoned, when precisely, if those we purport to love are dying of cancer because of the toxification of the total environment, when exactly? I mean, give me a specific threshold. Give me a point. I don't care what the point is, but give me a point at which you'll finally do something. You know, I mean, pick any point. And then it's like, oh, but what's going to happen then is when you get to the point, it's like, well, okay, we'll move the point back just a little bit. And I want to say one more thing about this, which is that one of the smartest things that the Nazis did was they co-opted hope and co-opted rationality. Oh, I want to say two things then. So that every step of the way, it was in the Jews' rational best interest to not resist. Would you rather get an ID card, or would you rather resist and possibly get killed? You want to move? I think I will probably just go ahead and get an ID card. You want to go to a ghetto? You want to resist and possibly get killed. You want to get on a cattle car? You want to resist and possibly get killed. You want to take a shower? You want to resist and possibly get killed. At every step in the way, it was in their rational best interest to not resist. And part of the reason for that was because they had hope. And there's two directions I can go with that. One very briefly, is that one of the most important things I think we can do is eradicate false hope. Does anybody really believe that if we just ask nicely that warehouses are going to stop deforesting? Does anybody really believe that if we ask nicely that Monsanto will stop Monsantoing? So I think it's really important to get out of that. I mean, one of the things, one of the reasons that my mother stayed with my father was because there weren't battered women's shelters in the 50s and 60s, but another reason was because of the false hope that he would change. And false hopes bind us to unlivable situations and they blind us to real possibilities. So false hopes are just bad, get rid of them. Okay, then I was bashing hope last time I was in Denver at the Four Winds place, and somebody in the audience said, so you're bashing hope, can you define it please? And it's like, oh my God, you know, I've been bashing hope for years, I don't know what it means. So I asked the audience what, you know, to define hope. And the audience came up with a great, there's probably some of you were there, the audience came up with a great definition, which was, hope is a longing for a future condition over which you have no agency. I don't hope that I eat tomorrow. I know men are supposed to be afraid of commitment, but I'm going to commit to it right here, right now. I will eat tomorrow. I will sleep tonight. The next time I get on a plane, I hope it doesn't crash, because I don't have agency over that. So if I say, I hope that salmon survive, what I'm saying is that I have no agency. So the truth is, I don't hope that salmon survive. I will do what it takes to make sure that they survive. And so we can say the same thing about all this other stuff. I can say, I hope that environmental racism goes away. I'm not picking on you. I mean, you didn't say that. But it's like, on the other hand, I can say, I don't hope environmental racism goes away because I will do what it takes to make sure it goes away.